Welcome to God at Work, Stories of Grace and Faith. I'm your host, Chuck Groover. And last month, for basically the history episode, we started to look at the life of Charles Spurgeon by looking at his early life and education. Well, this month we are picking up where we left off, and we're going to actually look at his ministry. Spurgeon came to faith in Christ in January of 1850, but he didn't actually partake of the Lord's Supper until he was actually baptized on May 3rd of 1850. It was after this that he actually started to teach a Sunday school class. In August of that year, he moved to Cambridge, serving as an assistant at a school formed by one of his previous teachers, and it was while here that Spurgeon was talked into preaching by the president of the Preachers Association. His first assignment was in Tevershim, where Spurgeon didn't find out until he was actually on the road, thinking that he was company for the preacher heading there and not the preacher himself. His preaching ability soon spread around the area, and he was actually invited to preach many times throughout the week. Eventually, he was asked to fill the pulpit at Waterbeach as a 2-week assignment, which those 2 weeks actually turned into 2 years. And it was actually while he was at Waterbeach that the church at New Park Street was searching for a pastor that could actually turn around their dying congregation. The church had what was considered to be one of the largest Baptist church buildings there in England, being designed to hold 1,200 people, but due to a set of circumstances that led to a dwindling congregation, there would usually only be about 200 that would actually be in attendance. And it was at this time that they learned of Charles Spurgeon and actually sent a letter inviting him to preach one Sunday. And the thing is Spurgeon originally thought that the letter was a mistake, and actually expressed that to the people who sent him the letter, only to be told later that, yeah, that letter was no mistake. So on December 18th of 1853, Charles Spurgeon made arrangements to preach at the church at New Park Street. And a lack of hospitality and the imposing building size, because of that, Spurgeon was actually tempted to turn back, but it was only because of his calling and invitation that he didn't seek, that actually, the invitation that he didn't seek that actually kept him going forward. And how many of us, when we encounter, like, an imposing church building or a lack of hospitality just to attend a church, would turn around? And Spurgeon, going there to preach, encountered that, but because of his calling, actually continued on. He actually preached a sermon that Sunday, out of James 1:17 to a crowd of about 80 people. But his preaching actually created such an interest in the people that a larger crowd actually attended the evening service where he preached on Revelation 14:5. The congregation was so enamored with Spurgeon that they desired to have him actually return to preach. So Spurgeon actually started alternating Sundays, preaching at New Park Street and Water Beach, and then eventually, in January of 1854, was offered a six-month position as pastor at New Park Street, which he accepted in April of that year. And while both the church and Spurgeon were certain about their future, the Baptists of London actually thought Spurgeon to be of no real importance. Some looked down on Spurgeon because of his age. Though some actually looked down on Spurgeon because of his age, there are actually some that realized Spurgeon's ability, though, too. And it was also shortly after he started at New Park Street that Asiatic cholera had struck London, which had a young Spurgeon on the verge of burnout. And if it wasn't for the words on a paper in a window that Spurgeon actually saw, he probably would have quit. But the words on a paper in a window actually served as the fuel to strengthen Spurgeon to actually continue on. And as the pastor of New Park Street Church, the congregation actually started to grow, where they actually needed to construct a new building. So they went from about 80 to 200 people with a building at a max capacity of 1,200 to now constructing a building that was designed to hold 5,000. And this new church building is what actually has become known as the Metropolitan Tabernacle. And among some other accomplishments, besides regularly preaching to a congregation of 5,000 at the Metropolitan Tabernacle, he also had started a pastor's college, and also the publication The Sword and Trowel, which I'm not sure if it's continuously gone on since then, but a search on the internet did show up that you can still find, to this day, being published, a publication associated with, like, the Metropolitan Tabernacle and stuff, and Charles Spurgeon's name, The Sword and Trowel. He also started or helped found the Stockwell Orphanage. Now, sadly, Spurgeon's life came to an end in January of 1892 at the age of 57. And the first indications of the end really appeared almost a year before, in April of 1891. Where for the first time in 40 years, he actually felt compelled to leave the pulpit. And shortly after, on June 7th, of 1891, he actually preached his last sermon due to his illness. While in his weakened state, he actually took a trip to Sanborn to visit the place where he was born, and his illness actually became worse, and he returned to London. So that pretty much just kind of wraps up the life of Charles Spurgeon, with his talk of his ministry and just really how God used him. I mean, he didn't feel like he was a preacher. He kind of just fell into all of his circumstances. He fell into starting to teach, well, he started teaching Sunday school after he got saved. He kind of was talked into preaching at a local church by the Preachers Association. Suddenly he gets and then he's suddenly finding himself being called to preach constantly because of his ability, And then he's called to preach at a church that he didn't expect, wasn't even, and actually thought it was kind of a joke that they were, or a mistake that he was being asked to preach there, only to end up preaching there, and that being where the bulk of, and where we mostly know of his ministry being, where he took a, pretty much a dying congregation, and God used him to turn it around into basically one of, as I said last month, one of the largest churches at that time. So, as I said, that wraps up the life of Charles Spurgeon. Next month I'll actually finish the series on Spurgeon, where we'll actually start to look at really his spiritual beliefs and how that and his life actually shaped his spiritual beliefs and how they were used to enrich others as both life experiences and belief helped to show who Spurgeon was as a whole. So, again, I'm Charles Groover talking, or Chuck Groover talking about Charles Spurgeon, and that's God at Work. Thank you for listening to God at Work, Stories of Grace and Faith. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at God at Work Podcast. If you have comments, suggestions, or a story you would like to be considered for the podcast, you can email us at stories@godatworkpodcast.com. If you enjoy this podcast and want to help support us, go to patreon.com/godatworkpodcast, or you can also support us by leaving us a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. God at Work, Stories of Grace and Faith, is brought to you by Becoming God's Man Ministries, and is recorded and produced by me, Chuck Groover. Theme music for God at Work is by the band 39 Stripes, and can be found at facebook.com/39stripes. And again, thank you for listening.